everyone, and welcome back. This is Complete Feng Shui. I'm your host, Tony Lontis, and in a moment, I'm going to introduce you to my gorgeous co-host, Michelle Castle. Now, before I do that, just a reminder that this show, Complete Feng Shui, is a fortnightly show, and this is the third installment. If you're listening live on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, Peo is ready and waiting online to answer your questions, provide you with links about anything that we talk about today. Now, today's show, and before I get onto that, let me just do our Welcome to Country, which I nearly forgot. So Welcome to Country is part of an international movement that acknowledges the special and important role Indigenous communities play in the development of a country's cultural identity. I respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, the traditional owners of the land in which we broadcast and meet, and pay my respects to the elders past and present and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Now, a little bit about this show series is based on Chinese astrology and feng shui and metaphysical studies. And I co-host with Michelle Castle, who is a feng shui master, an advanced teacher, scholar, an educator of metaphysics majoring in Chinese astrology. Michelle has successfully navigated feng shui industry for over 20 years, mastering a deep understanding of the multi-layered science of practice. Michelle has taught feng shui, Chinese astrology and metaphysical studies for Silk Roads Asian Studies at Curtin University and has worked extensively on interiors, renovations, and with emerging businesses and established enterprises. Through many years of practicing, she has become an expert in consulting and the subject matter around complete feng shui and Chinese astrology. She is also an author, a public speaker, and brings with her a wealth of knowledge and experience to this new feng shui series. Welcome back to the show, Michelle.
Hello.
Hello. Absolutely, I can hear you. That's gorgeous. Before the show, I was commenting on the beautiful background that Michelle has in her Zoom today. And later in the show, I'm going to ask Michelle a bit more about that. But a reminder, if you have any questions or would like Michelle to answer anything on these shows, please connect with Michelle via email. It's michelle1l@completefengshui.com, or otherwise you can contact either of us on all of our socials, and the links are available wherever you're watching this interview, either live or post show. Now, today, the focus of the show is going to be on house and home. And this is great news for the audience because it means that we'll be talking about things that are actually quite easy for you to do and concepts that might be easy to implement in your own home and house, or if you're considering buying, renovating, or moving. So one of the first questions I was curious about, and again, Michelle and I have talked about this, and it's about the overall aspect of the home or house and the optimum ways in which it would face. Now, from my perspective, I've always been told that you should have a northerly or northeasterly facing home because that's the best aspect if you're in the southern hemisphere. And if you're in the northern hemisphere, then the southerly aspect. However, I know from talking to Michelle that this is not always the case. So, Michelle, what does feng shui have to say about the way a house faces?
Well, it is always one of the first questions, and a lot of people will actually connect with me and they will go, oh, I want to buy a house, and what facing direction should I actually have for my house? And I bring it back down more to an individual point of view. So possibly a southern or northern facing house will actually work really quite well if your choir direction is an easterly direction, or if you're a west group person in your qua directions, well, then obviously the northwest, southwest, northeast, and west directions would be more favourable to you. So I don't think it's a question that can be answered really simply, because feng shui is actually very much about manipulating the energy for the individual to match the home. I do a lot of work with designing new homes and block selection for people, and it does. I don't think there's any perfect facing direction overall.
Good.
Because I think it's really an individual direction for the person. And then we would overlay like flying stars. You've got flying star energy, which tells a story within the home. And also it comes down to, interestingly enough, which people don't even probably think about or consider, is what is your career? Like, what is your career choice? So if you're an accountant and you need to have a career that you need to really have a trust factor, well, then a north-facing home is particularly good for you. But if you're somebody like you and me, where our business and what we do is all about sales and telling stories, I suppose, well, then a west-facing home would actually be more favourable for us. So each direction actually taps into a particular area of career. So if you're into the environment and eco, you would have a particular facing direction. If you needed a lot of reputation and recognition and hope, well, then a south facing direction would be really good. If you're into luxury items and goods, well, then an east facing home would be more favourable to you. So this goes not just from a home point of view, but also really from a business point of view. So when people are picking businesses and a block or a unit that they need to run their business from, then I need to know what industry they're in so that they're actually in a favourable direction for them, but the building's actually in a favourable direction for what their business actually want it to do for them. Yeah, so feng shui is so much more about action. It's about aligning the action and what you're wanting to receive and to get out of it than just going, oh, well, a north-facing direction is favourable or a south-facing direction is favourable. Yeah. So a little bit more deeper and more interesting than what people realise.
Yeah. Michelle, when you talk about the quai, can you explain to the audience what that means and how you get that reading or understanding?
Yes. So a qua direction is also classed as, some people call it eight mansions. It's classed as qua or gua or like a life direction as well. And this direction comes from your date of birth. So every year, regardless of what year you're born in, it comes down to one of the nine numbers, comes back to a master number of between one and nine. And each of those numbers has four favourable and four unfavourable directions. So half of those numbers east group people and the other half are west group people. Now, the qua direction, you can't actually fix or change. You are kind of stuck with it.
It's like
for life. Like your blueprint of what your capabilities are in life. But your qua direction, your four favourable directions are actually like career, sleep, health, romance, overall well-being. Your negative directions will actually bring you total loss. They'll bring you legal disputes. They'll bring you bad health and challenges in life. So you obviously want to face a favourable direction for you. Now, the qua direction actually comes from the magnetic pull of the water content in your body from the sun and the moon. So it's very similar to when we go, oh, it's a full moon, everybody's going crazy. So your qua direction is actually very similar. So it's very important that you understand and know your qua direction, which you can go on multiple programs online. I actually teach qua directions, but you can kind of find your qua direction online quite easily these days.
That's good to know.
Then you make sure that your home, your bed, and your desk is in a favourable direction for you. So basically you're in flow. You don't want to magnetically be pulled in the wrong direction all the time.
Definitely.
Otherwise that is what causes poor sleep, poor health and challenges within businesses.
Fascinating. So that little discussion was around the way that the house faces. The other component of that is actual placement of the house on the block of land or where it's situated. So in terms of hills and mountains, streams, greenery, forests, roads, it's all energy, isn't it, Michelle? So what are some of the things around the placement of a house that people should be aware of? And does that apply to apartments, for instance?
It actually does. It applies to all landed buildings. And this is where feng shui actually originated from. So feng shui originated with the correct placement of the building. So the building was always placed basically like an armchair. So you kind of want an armchair effect with your home. So you want a building that is higher behind. So you could have a high fence, or you could actually have a hill. You could have really solid trees, or you could actually have a higher building behind your home, and we say you then have mountain support, so you have support from behind. You then also have equal height on either side of you, so you are supported on either side, which is why blocks and properties that are on corner blocks aren't always favourable, because it means one side of your home is not supported. It's open to the elements. And then we have an open space in front of us. So we need the open space in front of us so that the energy, the chi, can actually enter the home. So it's very much like an armchair effect. So if you look at your home like an armchair, you have open space in front of you so you can stretch out your legs. You have support behind you so that you can sit back and you're actually supported. And then you can put your arms on either side so that you're in a comfortable position. So ideally, this is the type of position that you're looking for when you're looking for a block of land or you're looking from a home. You also want to make sure that your home is always above the road. So if your home is below the road, it means you're not going to be able to hold your money luck. So very important that the home is above the road. Now, the open space in front ideally would be water. So if your property faces water, then you have the water in the front, and water represents cash flow. So back in the day, the farmers placed their homes on the side of a hill, but they had height behind them, they had open space, and they had a stream or water in front of them, which pulled in the flow actually to the building. In this day and age, we look at roads as our water flow as well. So roads are actually classed as a water vein. So we can't all have water in front of our home, obviously. but a road will actually work actually the same. You just want to go, is my house positioned like an armchair?
Okay, so if you're thinking about a unit, for instance, and it faces the sea, and you have a unit on either side of you, and perhaps a unit at the back, that's ideal from a unit perspective. Am I understanding that?
Yeah, it actually is, because if you've got an apartment block at the back or something higher at the back, you've got your mountain support, you've got your river or water in front, so that's your water, and then you've got support on either side. So an apartment block or an apartment building is very similar.
Oh, that's incredibly interesting that it works like that. And, yes, now I'm just thinking of my own home and how that works. The next interesting part of the home is the bedroom. And I've got some graphics while Michelle's talking. I will try and make sure that we get them up. But there's a lot to talk about in terms of feng shui and bedrooms. And it's about, where they are, whether they have mirrors, whether they have windows, their paintings, furnishings, and their bed placement for optimal sleep and rest. And I can talk to this in terms of a personal experience. But Michelle, talk to us about bedrooms and feng shui.
Okay, well, bedrooms, I believe that the bedroom is actually the most important room within the home, because the bedroom is actually the area that you spend the most time in. So the first aspect is you need the head of your bed, so where your headboard is, to have a solid wall
headboard.
Definitely need solid headboard support. So you need support within your bedroom. It's also very important that your bed is located in a favourable qua direction, but that it's also in a favourable position within the bedroom. bedroom. So you want a wall behind your head, and you want to visibly be able to see the door while you're sleeping. So you want to be able to see the door, so you want to be in a secure position while you're also sleeping, and definitely no mirrors. We don't want mirrors in the bedroom. A lot of people have floor-to-ceiling mirrors, and mirrors aren't overly favourable within the bedroom. So mirrors, the job of a mirror is actually to draw in the energy that it sees. So you can imagine while you're sleeping, if you're sleeping in front of a mirror, the whole time you're sleeping, your energy, so similar to your qua, the magnetic pull and the energy, your energy is actually being drawn into the mirror. So you find that you have very restless sleep, and you also wake up very exhausted and tired, which is favourable for most people. Like, bedroom feng shui is a whole topic. We could do a whole show to some bedroom feng shui. So many do's and don'ts within the bedroom, and I look at a home and go, the bedroom is the most important room in the home.
Because that's where you've got to get your sleep and rest.
You do. You do. And if the energy in the bedroom is not right, you don't have the ability for favourable relationship luck. You don't have the ability to make money. You don't have the ability for health. And you, in fact, probably spend more time in bed sleeping. Your energy is within that room more so than any other room within your home. So the bedroom, I think, is one of the most important rooms. So when you're designing a home or when you're purchasing a home, it's really important to make sure that your bedroom is right and correct and favourable actually for you, the occupant.
Yep. And it's not just about bed placement. It's also about some of the furnishings, Michelle. So we just spoke about mirrors, but does that extend to like windows and lampshades?
Yes, it does. So from lampshades and personal effects within your bedroom, it's really nice to always have things in pairs. I find if I walk into a bedroom and I find there's a photo or an image of a single woman as such within the room, that will straight away I can go, oh, okay, so you're single or you are very alone within a relationship. So your art form is very strong symbolization within a bedroom. You should never have pictures of water in a bedroom either, because water within a bedroom represents too many emotions, and it can also represent financial losses. Too many windows in a bedroom will actually cause the effect similar to mirrors. So too many windows, I find a lot of the new homes have a lot of windows. So the same energy is drawn in between windows and doors. So if you've got a lot of windows, you've got a lot of doors, and you've also got mirrors, it means the energy is actually drawn in and it's bouncing about. So the energy is not very settled within the room. It becomes very busy and very chaotic. And you don't want a busy and chaotic feeling in your bedroom. Like your bedroom, a room of rest, it's a room of security. So for optimum health and optimum stability within your life, you actually want a really nice, calm bedroom. Now, the colours in the bedroom, really, once again, colours and elements come down to what you actually want out of your relationship. So I tend to start with quite a clear palette. Make sure your colours are a little bit more on the warm side than the cool side. If a bedroom's too white and it's too cold in feeling, I actually feel that is the energy within the relationship as well. So a very white, sterile bedroom will mean it's a very sterile type of relationship. It's quite a cold type of relationship. There may not be a lot of intimacy within the relationship. So often we'll go, okay, we need a little bit more passion within our relationship. We need to add some red, or we need to add some, or we need to add some warm color tones, which will actually warm up the relationship.
Ah, okay. Gosh, there's a lot in just bedrooms, and that's only like one element of one room in the house. I want to go to bathrooms, and we've had a little bit of a chat about toilets before, but bathrooms, what can you tell us about bathrooms? Okay, and I'm going to get some graphics up because we have a beautiful bathroom.
Beautiful bathroom. And this is the thing. These days we do make our bathrooms really beautiful. Bathrooms used to be the outhouse. They used to be the room where you remove the waste, and they're a room to clean and cleanse yourself. So back in the day, bathrooms weren't as glamorous as what they actually are these days. And now we tend to make our bathrooms often more glamorous than other rooms of the house. So bathrooms, I don't tend to ever believe in a lot of symbolization or a lot of cures within bathrooms, because really the bathroom is the area to remove our dirt, remove the waste, and to have a shower and to remove any negative energy. It's a room where we should be cleansed and actually cleaned. So a bathroom should often be practical. Obviously, you put the toilet seat down. People have a thing about covering drains because they feel the energy will actually slip through and slide through and go down the drain. Now, bathrooms are usually placed in the position and rooms within a home that there is negative flying stars or their negative facing directions, if you really go back to the design. So bathrooms are really good for removing negative energy. So a bathroom can actually be designed and used to your advantage if you design correctly when you build. But often we're going in and we're band-aiding. So we're way past the point of design and build. From a feng shui, you're going into correct what is actually happening within a home. So then bathrooms, I tend to bring that back to the colourment and element that is actually needed within the bathroom. So a bathroom, once again, should be clutter-free. It should be clean and relatively minimalistic within the bathroom. So you want it kind of clean and clear and neutral within its colours. Of course, you can add the towels and decorations of the elements that is required for that pocket of the home. And that can be done from either your Bagua level. So if you've got a bathroom in the north, you would say you would be adding some water elements. So you would add blue to that bathroom. If your bathroom's in the south, you would be adding some fire. So you could add some pink or purple or red as an example. If your bathroom's in the east or the southeast, you would actually add more plants. You would add the wood energy to that pocket of the home. Or if you looked from flying stars, you would then take it right down to the energy and the elements that are required to balance out the flying star within that pocket of the home as well.
Ah, so just got touching back on two things. The first one was cure. Now, when you talk about cure, can you tell the audience what that means from a feng shui perspective?
Okay, so a cure is when you're balancing out the energy. So a feng shui practitioner or master will come in and I come in and I read the energy of your home and I go, okay, the energy within this room is about finances or it's about relationship luck or it might be about your health. So a cure is usually a lot of the time it's the symbolization of a product. So cures can be classed as a product. Cures are the same as a remedy. So a remedy and a cure and symbolization are actually all very similar with their context. They're all adding an element, adding a product to actually control or balance the energy within a room. So you don't necessarily need to use feng shui products. So when I say cure, I would never put a feng shui product. I would never put a Buddha or a wealth symbolization in the bathroom as such. But I would cure it by adding the element that is actually required for that area. So you could use plants, you could use crystals, or you could use the colour of the element that is actually needed and required, which is where we bring in colour to balance and bring harmony to a home.
Okay. Another quick question around bathrooms. When you're thinking that some of the most beautiful bathrooms have those amazing big bathtubs plus a shower plus a double vanity, are there any implications from a feng shui perspective about those elements within a bathroom?
I don't think so. I do think it is nice that our bathrooms are so glamorous.
I do too. absolutely.
I'm not against having a glamorous bathroom at all. Bathrooms are meant to be quite practical. So
yes.
It's quite practical to have double vanity.
Yes, it is.
Obviously, I think the larger the bathroom, the easier it would be to actually get flow within a bathroom. So your bathroom's quite large and it's quite open. That means the energy has the ability to actually permeate and to flow through it far easier than like a small type of bathroom. So I think large bathrooms are very nice. And I think these days with feng shui, bathrooms are looked at quite differently to how they were originally looked at, which means we have to treat them like a room within the home, like we would treat any other room or sector, which is why you decorate and you cure accordingly.
Ah, okay. Fascinating stuff. The next most important room in the house from my perspective is that of a kitchen, and again I'm going to try and get some graphics up on the screen, but kitchens are like the work center of a house. I am now curious about how that relates to feng shui.
Okay, so a kitchen is actually generally your health point of the home. It is where the food is cooked to give you nourishment. So the kitchen nourishes the soul, and it also nourishes the body. So once again, kitchens these days are actually really quite beautiful.
Yes, a lot of kitchens, the one on screen is beautiful.
Beautiful. Kitchens are very much classed as the heart of the home and the centre of the home. Normally, from a design point, we don't like to place the kitchen in the centre of the home because that's usually adding – the kitchen has a lot of fire energy because you have your stove in it, and it is also a working space. So kitchens are best not placed in the centre of the home, and kitchens are also not best placed in the northwest pocket of the home as well, because otherwise the northwest pocket is said to actually exhaust the patriarch, and the patriarch is the man of the house. So normally we don't want the man of the house energy actually undermined. So when designing, we try not to place a kitchen in the center or in the northwest. Kitchens do's and don'ts, once again, from a design point of view, does come down to the individual, because we often like to have the stove, the knobs of the stove and the hot plate is said to need to face a favorable direction for the patriarch. Once again, this comes about the energy and the soul and the nourishment for the patriarch, for him to be supported within the home. So we definitely, we it's always about the placement of the stove. And also you don't want clashing elements within a kitchen. So you don't want a stove and a sink in line with each other, because that's the clash of the water element, clashing with the fire element. So it comes down to a little bit more design. Color-wise within a kitchen, we would then, once again, go to which pocket of the home is the kitchen in. So what elements are required within that kitchen color-wise, and what elements are required within that kitchen from a Bagua point of view to actually make the most of the kitchen within the home. Obviously, kitchens, we want to be clear of clutter. We want them to be clean. And we actually don't want knives out on the bench. Knives are...
why not?
Knives are known to cut friendship and they cut relationship. Like a knife is, after all, nice job is to actually cut things. So if you've got a knife block in your kitchen, that is not said to be healthy. The new design of our kitchens, the way that we are actually designing and building, particularly here in Australia now, we're having a lot more like galleries and butler's pantries created. Which means, and that is more the old style of a kitchen. So back
and
in
that's
the day,
better?
Yeah, back in the day, the dishes and the cooking was actually always done in an outhouse. It wasn't the in the kitchen like we have it as such these days. So that is actually more favourable to have the kitchen in a galley style. So once again, the waste and what is not required is not actually in the heart of the home. So I think kitchens are very important, but they often are an area that is very hard to cure, because often a stove will be in front of a sink. The design is already set and put.
Because they're opposite often, so you'll often have a sink and the stove is opposite with that triangle idea of working.
That's
so,
correct.
Yeah.
And a kitchen is actually like a bedroom. It is an area and space that you do spend a lot of time within the home. So you do want a kitchen to have very favorable luck. But it is, once again, an open kitchen will allow the energy and the chi to actually flow. So it's having the balance of all the elements within the kitchen. Some feng shui masters will go down to even the correct height of
Of the
a
bench.
kitchen bench. So that the height is actually favorable for the occupant as well. So I think from a practical point of view, feng shui is actually very practical. If you really power it back, it comes back to practicability. So an uncluttered open kitchen is obviously favorable. The bench height being the correct height for the occupant is also very favorable. And then we would go, we want balance within the kitchen. We want a balance of elements. We want a balance in numbers. So two sinks is even against one sink being odd. So it depends how detailed you actually want to go with your kitchen.
Michelle, in terms of things like tea towels, are they things that you can use to cure a kitchen? Can they be used? Okay.
Yeah, so often I'll say to people, you need to, if you need to bring in an element, so you may want to bring in fire energy. So often a kitchen will have a great deal of fire energy anyway, because all electrical appliances are classed as a fire element. But if you want to add a little bit more, I would go, okay, well, you want to have. If you need to bring in the metal element, you would place more stainless steel appliances within the kitchen. If you needed to bring in more of the fire element, I would say, okay, let's have a red fruit bowl or a red kettle or toaster. You could bring in some red tea towels or placemats into your kitchen. If you were wanting more water energy in the kitchen, water energy was required, and there's lots of arguments, you want to settle and still energy, then you would bring in a lot more blue within a kitchen, which you can bring in your tiles, or you could put some fish, I suppose, in a bowl or on a small tank on the kitchen bench. You could add plants. So you can bring some plant energy into your kitchen. So it's actually working with the elements, and this is where we can accessorize quite easily. And that is generally the elements that we do bring into a kitchen. It is using the accessories and the colors within our kitchen to actually balance out the energy within a kitchen.
Michelle, thinking about kitchens and the fire and energy, is it then better to consider keeping your kitchen relatively neutral with neutral colors?
Yes, that's usually when I'm designing, I usually recommend people that they do keep their kitchens and their homes relatively neutral, because often, and also from longevity from a resale point of view within a home, I can walk into any home and know exactly what year it's been built, simply by looking at the style and the design of their tiles. So if you're going with really what is the latest fashion within your kitchen, it is going to date very quickly, which is going to cost you a lot of money at a later date, because you're wanting to do an update. Where if you keep your kitchen and most the majority of your home relatively neutral in your colours and your styles, then it is very easy to change, switch it about and change, because you can just bring an element in. It's very easy to either have one year have green appliances and the next year you're wanting to bring in red appliances. So that's much cheaper than having to do a complete kitchen renovation. Because
Absolutely.
your elements are completely out for your particular home.
Fantastic. The next area of the house or home that I thought I'd like to talk about is that of the outdoor areas, so verandas and decks. Is there feng shui that applies to those spaces? So they're kind of like relaxing or socializing, or they're outdoor spaces outside the home. Are there considerations from a feng shui perspective about those?
They actually are, because when you look at the feng shui of your home and also from a block of land, so the energy point is actually at the heart, at the center, and then the energy kind of permeates completely out from the center of your home to your block boundaries as such. So depending which direction your verandas or al fresco areas are placed, you can actually tap into that Bagua direction, and you can also tap into the flying stars to actually enhance enhance that area. Now, our outdoor areas, particularly our verandas and our frescoes, particularly here in Australia, they are like an extension of our home. And
Yeah.
these days, they are very much like under the main roof. So we spend a lot of time within those areas. So my advice usually for colours and placement is you would go with the same of what is actually required for that pocket. The same, it needs to be safe. Like you don't want broken timbers and balustrades. It's similar to the home. You want it to be safe. You want it to be in good repair, and you also want it to match. So it needs to be friendly, it needs to be comfortable, and it needs to be uncluttered, very similar to your front door, because energy actually enters from the outside. So energy is always going to enter through a door or through a window or through an entry point. So a veranda or al fresco area is actually a very open sector, so you want the energy to be able to flow quite easily. So the same, make sure that it's clutter free and make sure it's comfortable.
Okay. If you're thinking about outdoor areas and thinking of maybe colder climates where there might be a heater or a wooden stove or something like that,
barbecue.
In terms of barbecue, what about their placement in an outdoor space? Is that a consideration?
Yeah, it is, and it's always a consideration that is taken into place when I'm feng shuiing home, particularly the barbecue. And these days we have a lot of wood pizza ovens built in, and we have a lot of outdoor kitchens also built in. So they are taken into consideration from a design point of view, the same as a kitchen would be internally within a home. So, yes, I always do design work on our frescoes and barbecue and veranda areas to where, like, it's similar to saying where do we place a water feature,
Yes.
Outside. So your barbecue and your wood fire heaters and heaters of any kind needs to be in a pocket that is fire safe. So it really comes down to the elements. So as a rule of thumb, fire is always best in the south. So in a south pocket of a veranda or an alfresco area is actually your safest location for your barbecues or your heaters. Your next location for that would possibly be the northeast or the southwest pocket of a veranda or alfresco. And for water, for a swimming pool a water feature or a pond, normally we would place those in the north. The north is generally safe because the north is of the wood water element, and it is also representative of career and business. So you want that supported, so you would put water in that area, or you would put water in the southeast, because the southeast is a wood direction, and the southeast water gives life to wood from an element point of view. So that means that water is actually increasing your cash flow. It is increasing your growth within the home. So if you power it back to really simply the direction, that is a good start. But the more powerful method is actually to look at your flying stars, because the flying stars is, as we've discussed before, the actual elemental energy pockets within the home. And the flying stars tells the story and the characteristics and aspects of what is actually happening within the home. So that is like the blueprint of your home, similar to your date of birth, which is your blueprint and your characteristics. So flying stars is where we really use elements and we really use placement. But from a beginner's point of view, then you kind of go, what is a safe pocket? So south is actually your safest pocket for fire.
Wow. Okay. The next thing I have that I wanted to talk about is the placement of plants, greenery, etc. And I know feng shui uses bamboo and kumquats. Can you explain to the audience why they choose, why particular plants or plantings seem to be more readily used, and what's the consideration around them?
The kumquats and bamboo is actually used because of the symbolization and the significance of what it actually means. So your bamboo is very much a meaning of longevity. So bamboo is actually classed as health and well-being and longevity. So we use bamboo actually for longevity within a home. Also, bamboo is quite soft, it's lush, it's green, and it grows really, really well. So it is a very easy product, and it's a very easy plant to actually use and recommend. And, of course, in China there was a lot of bamboo. So there's a lot of bamboo. So it has that meaning of health and longevity, and we've just kind of tapped into it in this country as well. Bamboo can also be used as a cure. So often we use bamboo as a cure because we use like 3 stems of bamboo or 7 stems of bamboo. Depending how many stems of bamboo you use, each stem of bamboo has a significance and an actual meaning. So once again, it's lush and it's an easy element. Bamboo in water is actually a particular cure and remedy that is used quite often within homes. And simply the bamboo doesn't die like flowers. No. Like if I said, okay, you need wood and water energy, so place a vase of fresh flowers on your bench and I want you to keep it and leave it there all the time. Well, it's a very costly exercise because obviously your flowers are going to die quite frequently, but bamboo actually won't. So your bamboo will actually stay there and it'll flourish and it'll grow. So it's really good as a long-term cure within people's homes. So bamboo is all about longevity, and that's why we use it. Now, kumquats and limes and fruit trees, the colour orange actually symbolises wealth. So whether you're using a kumquat, a mandarin or an orange, the
colour orange... It doesn't matter. It's the colour.
It's the symbolization of wealth. So the more profuse your fruit trees are, the heavier they are with fruit. It's a symbolization that the more wealth is actually coming to you. So often I recommend fruit trees because the fruit trees are significance of growth and they're also significance of wealth, which is really important. And most of the time people are more interested in wealth and how they're going to get that almighty dollar than what they actually are with anything else within a home. So money is very important. So kumquat trees are often recommended at the front of the home. So I often say place 2 kumquat trees in a pot, in some red pots at the front door of your home. So the kumquats flourishing is the significance of wealth. I know myself, every time I walk to my front door and my kumquats got little flowers all over them and they're about to be laden with kumquats, I automatically go, oh, money's coming to me, okay? So that symbolization that we attach to it, that money's coming to us with the wealth of the fruit trees. The other plant that is often used for feng shui is the jade, which is also classed as the wealth money tree. And that is because it's fleshy and really jade will really grow anywhere. So the more you water your jade, the fleshier and glossier the leaves actually become. And that, once again, is a symbolization of wealth. So we place jade at the front door and the front entry of properties and buildings to encourage wealth to actually come to us. And some say you place jade at the back door as well because that will actually hold the wealth within your home. So often I recommend at your front door you have a pot with a kumquat tree and then also you plant some jade around the base. So you've kind of got that double whammy. You've got your kumquats and you've got your jade. And if both are flowering nicely and profusely, that means you've got really good energy coming into your home and you've also got really good cash flow coming into your home as well.
Michelle, is there a difference between placing a kumquat in a pot versus in the ground? Does it make a difference from a feng shui perspective, or is it important to have them in a pot versus in the ground, or doesn't matter?
I just find sometimes in a pot you can get them closer to the front door. If you're placing them in the ground, they're not actually at the entry of your property. You will often then go, and also once they're in the ground, they're going to grow more profuse. So if you're going to put it in the ground, normally we would then use oranges and lemons and limes and mandarin trees. But a lot of people don't want those at the front door. They get big. They get big, and they're more of a backyard, I suppose. fruit and tree than actually at the front. So if, to bring the money luck in, for the symbolization fact of the money luck, you would put the kumquat. It's easier just to put it in a pot, generally at the front door. And not everybody, particularly with rental properties and apartments, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of properties that people can't actually plant things in the ground. So that means the pot's so much easier for them to be able to simply tap into that form of luck.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating. The other area of the home that I was a bit curious about was that of hallways. And because not all homes have hallways, but most of them have sort of either an entry hallway or a hallway in the house. What's the significance of hallways from a feng shui perspective?
Well, a hallway back in the day, the homes were actually built quite square. So the entry is very important because the entry is the area that the energy enters, and once your energy enters your entryway, it then decides which way it's going to go within your home. So and the energy needs to permeate and come into a home. So it's very important that you have a clear entryway and you have an attractive entryway, because energy actually works just like footsteps. So if you come to the entry of a home and you go, this is beautiful, I really want to enter, energy works exactly the same way. So a hallway is used to pull in and to disperse the energy from one room to the next. So the larger your entry, the better chance you have of the chi wanting to enter and to slowly decide to which way it wants to go and where it wants to stay. A lot of the older homes used to have the hallway and it went straight through the middle of the house. The house, and there was a front door and there was a back door. And then as the energy went and walked down the hallway, it would choose which rooms it wanted to enter. So to slow down the energy from going straight from the front door straight through to the back door, you would then open all the doors, or you would place items along your hallway so that the energy in fact kind of stopped and looked. So a mirror works really well, because the chi will, the energy will float down and it'll go, oh, I'll just stop and look at myself in the mirror. And what we do naturally. If you've got a hall table or you've got some plants, it means the energy has to actually slow down to move around those objects. And really, so it's all about the manipulation of the energy. Everything that we do with feng shui is actually manipulating the energy and making sure that it disperses and enters all areas of your home. So hallways are actually quite important. They probably don't have enough importance as a design feature when a lot of people are actually building. So a lot of mistakes can be made with hallways. But you want an open hallway. The larger the hallway, the better. You can go right down to your door placement as well. Like, doors should never be opposite each other. Doors opposite each other in a hallway will often cause like argumentative tendencies. So your doors should actually be staggered. So once again, there's lots of rules to how you place the hallway, how is best to have the best flow. To me, I just go, make sure your hallway is open, that it is light, that it's actually clutter-free. If it is too long or it's too large, then the energy isn't secure. So you kind of it's like, how do you feel about your hallway? I kind of look at houses and I go, well, chi and energy is so similar to me. How do I actually feel when I'm within the space? Do I feel claustrophobic? Do I feel free? Do I feel open? So energy is very human within its nature, and it reacts really the same way that we react. It's like, do we want to go into that room or don't we?
Do we? Yeah. So if you have for instance, a dark hallway, you can either add some more lights or perhaps a skylight or something that then makes it more light-filled and inviting.
Definitely. Energy doesn't, we don't want our energy actually to be too yang. So anything that is too dark and too stale, the energy does not actually want to permeate that area. So like us, we don't actually want to walk into a dark, cold place. So energy is not really that different. So, yes, if you've got a very dark, enclosed hall, I would definitely suggest either having some really good lighting in it, so it is actually well lit the majority of the time. If not, maybe putting a skylight in. Like ideally, back in the day when homes were built in China, the middle part of the home was actually open, and the well actually.
I love that idea.
So a skylight will actually do the same in the centre of your home. It actually connects the heaven and the earth energy. So the energy is then able to enter the home through the skylight, through the middle of the home, and then it gets the opportunity to choose which direction it wishes to meet and to flow through. So a skylight in a hallway is really, really
great
good.
Idea.
It will actually pull the energy in and make it less yang as well.
Yeah. Michelle, we are almost out of time, and my last question is around the way that people work with you, and I'm just thinking, so it is absolutely possible for you to consult with someone who's building a new home and help them make that house and that plan more and more advantageous for them personally, yeah?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
And is so, that's some of the
and I can work with people anywhere around the world.
Yes.
The advantage in this day and age is Google Earth. So I can actually stand in front of anybody's home or property, which is really exciting. And because so much of it does come from an analytical point of view, particularly from your building point of view, all I need is an occupant's detail. So by having the compass reading, the address, I can stand in front of anybody's home and look at the environment. I can take the compass reading from the roof line of a home, and I can work from a plan and from people's dates of birth.
So even if they've got a block of land, you can immediately look at that block of land and go, okay, your house should look a little bit like this, 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 and this.
Exactly.
This is where the veranda should be. This is where the kitchen should be, et cetera, et cetera. Amazing. Exactly. And you can do that from Australia to anywhere. So across the United States, Canada, wherever, it doesn't matter. Google Earth will be able to help you exactly plot that out and go, well, this is what you need to consider. Do this, this, and this. And you're set to have
I've got Google Earth, I'm good to go. Google Earth and the right information, and it's definitely possible. So, and really, when you're building, is the ultimate time to get your feng shui right. Because then everything that you build is in line with you, and it's also in line with the environment that you are actually building in. After that, it's very possible to correct your feng shui, but it's done more from an element point of view and an understanding point of view of what is actually happening within your home. So
amazing.
Possible.
Amazing, amazing. And I know from talking to you that you've done lots of that work around either new business buildings, corporate buildings, people's homes. Lots and lots and lots of people want to have the feng shui of the home done correctly. And the advantages of that include having a really comfortable, safe, beautiful home with great energy, isn't it? That's the difference between walking into a home and going, oh my God, that's beautiful and it feels comfortable versus, oh, that makes me feel a bit icky.
I truly do believe though your home is very entwined with your luck, your life luck and your life path. And I do find that houses pick people. People don't pick houses. We like to think that we have control over everything. So we always pick a home that has a story that matches the similar story to what we're going through and what we're doing. Yeah. So at the same time, if you do work on yourself, if you educate yourself and you do work and you acquire more knowledge, that gives you the advantage to actually change your circumstances, because as soon as you grow and you acquire more knowledge, you are likely to move from a home that wasn't performing as well for you
to something better.
Will open up. So it's so much of it comes back to us. Like feng shui is all around you. If everybody is affected by feng shui, whether you believe in it or not, but it comes down to the actions that you take and the knowledge that you acquire, and that's where feng shui is so important.
Powerful.
Actually make quite a shift and quite a change in people's lives.
Oh, Michelle, thank you so much. We are completely out of time yet again. Before I let you go, we're going to next fortnight, talk about the water tiger, the year of the water tiger, which is 2022, and everything in between around the water tiger, which will be a fascinating discussion. And I can't wait to have you back on the show, Michelle. It's wonderful for you to share this information with the audience, and we have
the beginner's feng shui.
Yes, is out and available. The link is on the chat, and everywhere you see this video, please jump on and get one. I've got one. I've also got a number of Michelle's books already because I find it absolutely fascinating. We will be back next fortnight with another show of Complete Feng Shui. I can't wait to talk to Michelle then. Michelle, thank you so much for today.
Right, and thank you.
Bye, everyone. That's your lot for the fortnight. We'll be back again soon. Bye.
Thanks.